Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Louis Navellier is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Louis Navellier, I should say. That's how you pronounce his name. Louis Navellier is the chairman of the board, chief executive officer, and chief investment officer at Navellier & Associates, and he writes for a number of publications. You may have seen his byline a lot of places. His newsletter is at Stock Investing Advisory Newsletter is Emerging Growth, Quantum Growth, Blue Chip Growth, and Global Growth. I guess those are several of those. And he's our new friend, Louis Navellier. Welcome to the show.
It's an honor to be here.
It's good to have you here. Okay, Louis, I poll small business owners myself every quarter or so. I report on monthly, at least two, sometimes more monthly surveys of small businesses and what they think about how the economy's going. And they're all telling us about the same thing. And that is that the economy is not doing badly, but it's not doing great either. What are you seeing out there?
Sure. Well,
we're out on Main Street here. We're not on Wall Street.
We have this shock coming because everybody's paycheck just shrunk and because of higher withholding taxes. And, and so we want to see how everybody reacts to that. That's the bad news. The good news is a lot of the uncertainty is over.
A lot of it is not over, but all of it's not over.
No, that is correct.
Because we still have Obamacare to land fully, and that's really shaking up a lot of small business owners. Mm-hmm. And we still don't know what's going to happen with the debt crisis.
That is correct. Well, they raised the debt ceiling, and they'll probably raise the debt ceiling again, but they will obviously try to get somebody to behave, but we'll see if they have any success in that at all.
Right.
But I will tell you, I did work for the Fed for 4 years. And
where?
I was in San Francisco.
Yeah.
So, just, you know, I'm fully trained in socialism.
Yeah, I believe that.
Redistribution. Mm-hmm. Actually grew up in Berkeley. And I do want you to know that they're going to inflate their way out of this mess.
Yeah. They're already doing that, aren't they?
Yes, but
I mean,
you don't have...
I mean, printing money like it was candy.
Correct.
Not even like candy. At least you have to buy the candy. This is printing out of thin air.
Correct. And if you ever wonder why all the car plants up in Alabama, Tennessee, and South Carolina, it's because they're going to inflate their way out of this mess, and that's all going to end up in America. So...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you weaken your currency with this eternal money pump, you do help your economy. So if I was a farmer, I would love the Fed pumping because my crop prices would go up. If I was in the manufacturing, I'd love it. Of course, in North America, we're blessed by all that cheap energy.
Right.
And then if I was in the tourism business, I'd love it.
Our currency will be weaker against the competing tourist dollars from other countries.
Correct. The only problem is this commodity price in dollars. So inflation will emerge. So every time you go to the gas station, the grocery store, you'll be reminded of that. And you saw that in the last election.
Which means that it's going to help the rich people, but it's going to hurt folks at the margins.
Yeah, it's going to hurt the poor people even more. There's no doubt about that. So, but you saw that in the last election. There's no inflation. I mean, the prices of the pump had doubled, and everybody knows.
I don't agree with that because maybe you were being sarcastic, and I missed it. But the thing is, Louis, I'm still irritated at the way the Fed defines inflation, because you can no longer keep out food and energy out of your basket of goods. It's ridiculous. I mean, when you subsidize corn for ethanol, that drives the price of corn up It drives more than gas, more than ethanol going up. It drives up food prices.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. It's total pork barrel and the farm lobby
that
hurts, bipartisan.
That hurts so, Obama's middle class that he loves.
Absolutely,
so
it causes a tortilla crisis in Mexico. It's a lot of interesting things going on, but they keep manipulating the CPI. They've changed it 8 times since 1980. You saw in these budget negotiations that they wanted to tinker with it again. And restrict Social Security increases, all that kind of stuff. But it's truly amazing what's happening.
I'm worried about when you say we're inflating our way out. I agree with you. I haven't said it that way because I'm not as smart as you are. But I have said for more than two or three years now that we are in and are going into a very inflationary time. And Lewis, I remember the 70s. And that was an ugly time of inflation, and I'm concerned about that. What do you think? Am I right?
Well, I was at the Fed that 1 year when rates went from 20 to 10 to 20 all in the same year.
Yeah.
And I still remember a Michigan home builder testifying in front of Congress demanding Volcker's head on a platter.
Yeah.
And he was yelling at the top of his lungs so no one would stop him because they thought he was going to die anyway. But obviously you can't do your business planning when you get that kind of inflation. Peter Orszag is President Obama's former budget director, and he basically is on the speaking circuit now, and he tells everybody if rates get above 2%, the government blows up. So
because
we're going to be...
Tell us why that's the case.
Because we can't service the debt.
We can't service the debt, exactly. We'll not be able to afford, we'll not be able to print money fast enough to pay the interest on that debt, and we'll have failed auctions.
Credit rates will go down. The Fed is up to 93% of the auctions, and what they've done is they had an $800 billion balance sheet before 2008. Now it's over $3 trillion. They own more than China and Japan combined. They are monetizing at least 75% of the debt each year. So the Treasury sells the debt, the Fed buys it, and it's very controversial.
What do you think is going to be the resolution of all that?
Basically,
if you had to look 5 years out, what would you say? Where would you say we'll be?
I'm going to tell you the silver lining, and then I'll tell you the truth. Okay. The silver lining is Japan's inflating their way out of their mess too.
Right. They are now.
The stock market's up 30% since June. Inflation is good. A weak dollar is good for America only because it helps all those industries
exports.
I mentioned.
Yeah.
And 40% of the S&P sales come from beyond our borders. So all
right.
these multinationals reap windfall profits. So you will see a stock market boom, and when you do get inflation, the stock market's a good hedge.
Yeah. Hold on that thought, Lewis. I got to take a quick break. But eventually the chickens come home to roost on this, don't they? And that's what I want to get Lewis to help us with, folks. I'm trying to help. We're trying to give you some perspective on what's happening out there, folks, outside of your four walls, so you can somehow get ready for it. 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.